Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. This is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 49, and can be found on page 1061 of the Church Bibles. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up to them and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and to enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We remain standing to say the creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Mark will now come and preach.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word about your Son, the risen Christ. And as we think about him now, send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, that we may see and that our hearts may also burn within us. Amen. As part of my training at Ridley, I recently spent a week in Little Hay Prison near Huntingdon. And for me, one of the highlights of that week was the multi-faith aspect of the chaplaincy work. For the first time in my life, I attended Muslim Friday prayers. I had the experience of attending a Rastafari meeting. And best of all, I spent an hour with a group of 14 pagans, which was led by the pagan chaplain, who is a self-confessed witch. During this meeting, I had the opportunity to sit and observe the discussion amongst people who came from all kinds of different backgrounds. One of them followed the Norse gods of the Vikings, another the spirituality of Native Americans, and there was even a Jedi knight. And what fascinated me was not only the huge spectrum of belief in the room, but the shared understanding that the truth is whatever you wanted it to be. They seemed to disagree about absolutely everything apart from this one point, that if the path you have chosen works for you, then that was your truth. Two things struck me about this. Firstly, it was a bit like being transported back in time to when Christianity first appeared, to the society where the early church was born and the letters which we read in the New Testament were written. This was a time when there were lots of different philosophies and religions which coexisted and mingled together. But secondly, this group was kind of like a microcosm of our society today. Anything goes, provided that you do not commit the heresy of claiming that your truth is somehow more truthful than somebody else's truth. So in this meeting, I was then asked to say something about my beliefs. I was asked the question, as a Christian, what does enlightenment mean to you? Now, this seemed like a golden opportunity. It is very rare to be asked a direct question about your faith and what you believe. And it is not often that you get the opportunity to give the gospel to a witch. But the question racing through my head was how to make the best of this opportunity. How do I communicate the truth to a room full of people who believe that there is no truth other than their own? After all, I've got a very good idea what their response is going to be. Oh, well, that's what you believe, but I believe this. Now, in some respects, this is quite a unique situation. But actually, I think this question is relevant to all of us. How do we as individuals and as a church communicate the gospel, the truth of the resurrection, to a world which holds that truth is relative or subjective even, where religious belief is considered personal and it is inappropriate or even offensive to share our beliefs as truths. And I think that there is a real danger that in this culture, we are beaten back, we kind of retreat into our churches, and we become fearful about going out into the world to stand up for the truth, to share the good news that Christ is risen. Now, of course, as Christians, we can share our faith in many different ways, through our actions, by the moral choices which we make in the way that we live our lives, the way that we live and love each other as a community, the way we welcome and reach out to the stranger, and by building relationships with people who do not share our faith. But at the heart of it, surely, is the truth of the cross and the resurrection. This is the gospel that we proclaim. So how do we fearlessly and confidently proclaim this truth to a world in which the truth is whatever works for you? In this passage, which we heard read this morning, Luke tells us something very important which speaks into this question and challenges any sense of fear, inadequacy, or crisis of confidence which we may have. And that is this. When we share our faith with other people, we can do so with a confidence which is rooted in reality and with an authority which comes from God himself. When we share our faith with other people, we can do so with a confidence which is rooted in reality and with an authority which comes from God himself. It is, of course, true that the disciples took their time to get their heads around the resurrection. They had lived with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus had explained to them everything that was going to happen. They had been at the Last Supper. They had been with him in Gethsemane. And in one way or another, they had witnessed the crucifixion. But the disciples on the road to Emmaus still needed Jesus to come alongside and explain it all again from the scriptures. And even then, although their hearts burned within them, they did not see until Jesus broke bread with them. Then they rushed back to Jerusalem to the other disciples who have also seen the risen Christ. But they still don't quite get it, because Jesus then appears amongst them again, and this is their response. They were startled and terrified, and thought they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Christ asks them. And so Jesus explains again from the scriptures and opens their minds to understand. So it takes a lot of resurrection appearances and explaining from the scriptures before they understand. But in recording this account in his gospel, Luke is making two things very clear. Firstly, that the resurrection is real. It was a real event, and the resurrected Christ was real. Jesus was not a ghost, he was flesh and bones. You could touch him. He walked with them, he broke bread with them, and ate in their presence. So the disciples were witnesses of an historical event, the physical resurrected Christ. Secondly, the death and resurrection of Jesus did not happen by chance. It was part of a much larger plan. Luke records how Jesus interpreted the scriptures to explain that his resurrection was part of God's bigger plan. He opened the minds of the disciples so that they could understand that the resurrection was the fulfillment of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. As Peter puts it, Christ was destined before the foundation of the world. Now, this is important for Luke because his whole gospel is about how God is bringing in his kingdom. And the resurrection and the ascension are the key events, the turning point in history. This is where Satan's reign is destroyed and the kingdom of God is established here on earth. This is all part of God's plan, And the good news is that we have the opportunity, the invitation to be part of that plan, to be kingdom people. These two points are really important for a time when the church may feel on the back foot or fearful of what others may think. Because when we share our faith with other people, we are not simply expressing an opinion or sharing our beliefs or even our experiences. But behind our words stands an eternal truth and a divine purpose which gives our testimony a very real authority. I don't know whether you've ever been a witness in a court case. I have, and it can be rather harrowing. But in a courtroom, the judge is obviously essential. He or she is responsible for making decisions about the law and managing the courtroom. The jury makes decisions on the evidence and decides guilty or innocent. But the witness is key. As a witness, you have the responsibility to present the truth as you know it and as best you can. But with that responsibility, there is an authority. The facts of what actually happened, what was seen and heard at the scene of the crime, has weight and influence and can determine the outcome of the trial. And that is how it is with us as Christian witnesses. So if you ever feel hesitant about sharing your faith with others, or you feel fearful of what others may think if you talk to them about Jesus, remember this. You can be confident about talking about the resurrection because it was a real event, witnessed by hundreds of people. You can also be confident proclaiming the good news about the risen Christ, because when you speak with authority. For God himself is standing behind you. This historical event is part of God's plan, the key to his mission, to his world. Of course, it may be that you struggle yourself with the reality of the resurrection. And if this is you, then you are in good company. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, I would invite you to allow Christ to walk alongside you. Investigate the texts which talk about Jesus. Discuss it with others and listen to the witnesses who testify about him. Pursue the truth so that, as Peter says, you may come to trust in God and so that your faith and hope are set on him. The church does not need to be fearful about proclaiming the gospel, for we can be sure that the message of the resurrection is rooted in reality and has an authority which comes from God himself. As kingdom people, we can be confident in the knowledge that Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Thank you, Mark. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.